Blog Talk Radio.
Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hit 'em high.
Can you hit 'em low? Hit 'em low.
Your ain't got no game. I'm breaking you out the frame, coming through like a train. Looking to take over the whole world is my goal. With my unstoppable crew taking all control. You can't get none of this. We're running this. Well, take up, Earthshaker, 3-point gun in this. Get off the lane, I'm coming through, and if you don't wanna move, I'm coming right through you.
It's like inch by inch and step by step, I'm closing in on your position, and destruction is my mission. No, 8 is not enough, your whole squad better duck. It's like switch when I bust, now your whole crew is dust. Coming through my area, I'ma have to bury you. The real scream team on your screen scene. It's like showdown under Rago, tell me who wanna tangle with together with Dr. Neighborhood Superhero.
Came to bring the ultimate pain upon the brain, untamed. You will like it when I change into a type strange. Make low maniacal, monster in the game. And I got my eye on you, dead shot aim. As free throws keep coming down like rain. You feeling me, I'm feeling you, the monster gang. I'm telling you, pass me the rock, now I'm headed to the basket. Get up out my way is what you better do. My tactics is unsportsmanlike conduct, you better ask it. Don't get no better than this. You catch my drift, you get stripped by ball handlers, ruled by swag hammer. Danger, you dealing with official hoop bangers. With hang time, like a coat hanger. Jump with thunderous 360 degree tight dunks. What up, Doc? The monster funk.
Lightning strikes, the court lights get dim. Supreme competition is about to begin. Up off the rim, finessing it, moves is animated. Once I get the ball in, I can't be deflated. A rugged paw, my monsters is getting money. With clicks, get the bugging, I'm snatching up their bunnies. Every step I take shakes the ground. I make you break your ankle, son, shake you down. This is my planet, about business, the best that ever done it. Can I get a witness? A cumulus cloud brings darkness up above. You in it for the money or in it for the love, MJ? 23 ways to make a pay. Lounging in the mothership back around my way. A 28 light years old. If the rep get political, dribble like Bob Dole. Am I getting lyrical? Daddy, I think so. Monster, top of flavor, fluid, no 20 floating.
seeing in tonight's broadcast. Tonight we're mainly going to focus on what transpired the first game of the season between the Packers and Seahawks. We're going to recap that game. We're going to recap also Sunday 1 p.m. game. Part 2, we'll focus on the late afternoon game as well as the Sunday night game between the Broncos and Colts and the two Monday night games as part of the Monday night doubleheader. And if you're me, you're feeling pretty good about yourself a little bit. I have to say, though, I want to start the show by talking about the match that went down, Ray Rice, and I'm just going to keep it as short as I possibly can. But I will say that they got it right the second time as far as the punishment by suspending him indefinitely and the Ravens forcing to act by automatically terminating his contract. They did the right thing, but they still should be embarrassed by what went down. And if you saw the video, if you're me, your reaction is, oh, wow. It goes deeper than it actually has been. I gotta say, that is about as sickening as I've ever seen. To me, that one hit is probably as bad as what Lawrence Phillips, another former running back in the NFL, ever did to any of his ex-girlfriends. It was just crazy. It was crazy to see this go down, and it was just unfortunate. Now, because of his indefinite suspension from the NFL, it's going to cost him a lot of money. We're talking up to $4 million of endorsements, including Nike and Electronic Arts, two of the companies that announced earlier today that they have cut ties with any type of businesses with Rice whatsoever following the release of this video. And I'm trying to figure out, how could the NFL not know anything about the video? How could they not reach out to TMZ? Apparently, TMZ is coming out and they're saying that the NFL never reached out to them about the video or any amount of evidence whatsoever. That being said, the NFL, if this is true, the NFL should definitely be at fault for not reaching out to TMZ. It's crazy how yesterday they released this video showing him and his wife in the elevator at a casino in Atlantic City, New Jersey. Both of them basically hit each other until Rice left his wife, on her feet into the railing. And it really wasn't just the punch. It was the fact that he was dragging his wife from the elevator or trying to get her through the elevator before security showed up. That right there is what's sticking me a little bit. You hit someone, then you just kind of drag them on the floor, you know, a helpless person. That all was sickening enough as it was, and I felt like if they hadn't suspended him for the rest of the season, he should have voluntarily sat out the season. I was pretty much feeling that way. And the reason why they made this punishment instead of the original two games was simply because it came under fire by media, fans, current and former players. They made this decision because of that. But there's already enough heat on the NFL with this whole situation, and it's just unfortunate. It's just unfortunate. And he's a very talented player. He won the Super Bowl 2 years ago. You hate to see this happen to anybody. As far as I'm concerned, I think that the Ravens did the right thing. Time to move on. He should not be allowed to play in the NFL for the rest of this season. And I'm amazed that he hadn't even been arrested. Because he should get a little bit of jail time. And the other man that strikes this woman and the woman reports it to the police or anybody else who witnessed it or knew about it, that guy's going to jail. That's just to give you a little something to think about. I don't want to spend too much time talking about this because I can guarantee you ESPN, the NFL Network, they've been all over this. Even local news stations have been all over this. And if you want to find out more, you can go to yahoo.com, sports section, NFL, Ray Rice, Roger Goodell, his job. A lot of people saying he should be let go, he should step down or whatever. You can find out more about it on ESPN. You can find out more about it on the NFL Network. You can also go to Fox Sports 1 as well as your local Fox Sports stations. But I can tell you, this is not going to die anytime soon. The battle may have been kind of straightened out a little bit, but the war is far from over because we're going to find out more information, I can guarantee you. And his wife saying what she said, she's about to be in for a rude awakening. because nobody in the media is going to back off from this. You are about to get more publicized recognition from everybody. And that's just the way it is. Now, moving on to the start of the season, because this whole story with Ray Rice, it definitely overshadowed a great start to the 2014 season. Hopefully your team's won. If not, you still got work to do. Even your teams who won still got work to do. You shouldn't judge anybody by one game. Starting off with the game that took place last Thursday between the Packers and Seahawks, I thought Green Bay was going to at least compete with the Seahawks, and it looked like they had something going. Going into the first quarter of that game, the Seahawks actually muffed the punt. Packers recovered it. They end up scoring. They go up 7-3. And the game was pretty much competitive going into halftime. Seahawks were up 17-10 after the first two quarters, and then after that, they kind of opened things up a little bit. They were up 29-10 in the fourth quarter. Marshawn Lynch had a big game. He ran for two touchdowns. He actually ran for 110 yards off 20 carries. The thing that was disappointing was Green Bay not really trying to establish a running game. James Starks led the team with 7 carries for 37 yards in this game. Eddie Lacy only had 34 yards on 12 carries. Where was the running game on that? Aaron Rodgers really didn't get into a rhythm. He had a good completion percentage, I'll give him that, but he only threw for 189, one interception, one touchdown, sacked 3 times. It was an overall disappointment. I wanted to see Aaron Rodgers attack the Seahawks secondary, and he really didn't do that. Now, Jordy Nelson caught 9 passes for 83 yards. Randall Cobb had 6 catches for 58 yards and a touchdown, but that's not going to cut it against Seattle's defense, especially the secondary. It's not going to cut it, and that's why the Seahawks ended up winning 36-16. And Green Bay's defense was a little bit of a letdown as well because they had no answer for Marshawn Lynch. Seahawks had 398 yards total offense. If I'm Green Bay, I'm in trouble a little bit. Not time to panic. It's first game of the season. But I should be a little bit concerned because that shouldn't happen. If you're supposed to be a team that's supposed to be improving on the defense, that just shouldn't happen. It just shouldn't happen. Bottom line. And I will say, in this case, Green Bay, time to get back to the drawing board. Period. Time to get back to the drawing board. As for the Seahawks, they're on to San Diego next week. That should be an interesting game. Green Bay will take on... Well, actually, I think Green Bay has a bye week next week. Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, they're hosting the Jets. And speaking of the Jets, I think I'm going to start the Sunday action by talking about this game. The Jets, they had a very competitive and tough game against a tough Oakland team. Say what you want about them. The Jets won 19-14. The talk of the game to me was Chris Ivey having a good, solid, productive afternoon. Geno Smith threw for 221, completed 82% of his passes. He actually had a good completion percentage. That's very good for him. Did throw an interception. He did have a lost fumble. And despite that, he managed to throw for 221 and a touchdown. He was also sacked twice, one of those being off a fumble. Michael Vick came in the game, threw a pass, incomplete, going 0-for-1. But that's all he did as far as seeing any action on the field. Eric Decker, in his first official game with the Jets, caught 5 passes for 74 yards coming over as a free agent from Denver. Chris Johnson, his first official game with the Jets, he had 5 catches for 23 yards and a touchdown. He also ran 13 times for 68 yards. The running backs were very productive for the Jets. Chris Ivey getting a touchdown run and Chris Johnson with a touchdown reception. That Chris Ivey touchdown run, I blame the Oakland defense for even failing to tackle this guy. It was like they were playing two-hand touch out there. Seriously, you couldn't get a hand on the guy. And you had about 4 or 5 opportunities to tackle him. That's not going to get it done. It's just not going to get it done. But hats off to the Raiders. They played productive. They played as productive as they could have. But they're 0-1 now starting at the season. Derek Carr, who was named the starting quarterback at the end of preseason, completed 20 of 32 passes for 151, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, no turnovers. He was sacked twice. And, you know, that's going to happen. That's going to happen if you're a rookie quarterback. But he played pretty well. I like him as a starting quarterback going forward. I do. And I thought the Raiders did the right thing by naming him the starting quarterback. It was definitely the right decision for them to make. And going forward, I think Geno Smith should continue to see more time as the starting quarterback. That being said, I think the additions of Chris Johnson, then you already have Chris Ivory, that's going to help him. Bringing in Eric Decker should help too. That being said, I'm kind of anxious to see how this Jets offense is going to look going forward. Now, Oakland is a tough defense. They're a good defensive team. They showed that last year, but they gave up 402 total yards. The Jets dominated on a time of possession. They racked up 20 first downs, and that also helps. That helps out a lot. So the Jets are 1-0. They're playing Green Bay next weekend. Meanwhile, the Raiders next week, they will take on Houston. Speaking of Houston, and I just like how I'm keeping this thing going, they won, and a lot of people didn't think that the Texans were going to win, but they went. They won the game against the Washington Redskins 17-6, but it came at a cost. Jadeveon Clowney will be out for the next 4 to 6 weeks after tearing his meniscus. He got an x-ray yesterday. The news broke out. He's going to be out for the next month and a half or so. That's tough news for the Texans. But like I said, this guy has to do a better job of keeping himself in better shape, because I always questioned it, Jadeveon Clowney's motivation level. How bad does he want it? How bad is he willing to play? How much is he willing to play? Now, J.J. Watt, on the other hand, this guy is motivated. He's going to play, and he's going to play in a big way. He played phenomenal to start the season after getting that big-time contract extension before the regular season started, and so far, he's earning every penny of it. He only had 2 solo tackles in this game, but he did record a sack, he recorded a pass defended, and he also recorded a block extra point. How about that? For a guy that wants it. For a guy that really wants it. And he got his due. He got his due. Actually, I'm not sure if that was a block extra point or not, because obviously I didn't see this whole game here. But from what I seen, it doesn't matter if it was a block punt. The fact is, he got a block on special teams. That should tell you something right there. J.J. Watt, to me, is definitely a top 3 defensive lineman. He's probably the best defensive lineman in the game right now. And this guy came out of nowhere and established himself as one of the better defensive linemen. Meanwhile, speaking of, RG3 took a beating from what I had seen. Got sacked 3 times, lost a fumble, never really found much of a rhythm, and that's something that's going to have to be addressed. DeSean Jackson, his first game as a Redskin, caught 8 passes for 62 yards, but the story was the Texans on both sides, really. DeAndre Hopkins caught a beautiful 76-yard touchdown pass from new quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick. It was beautiful. He made that Redskins defense look absolutely pathetic. And speaking of Fitzpatrick, he played well. 14-22, 206 yards, 1 touchdown, no turnovers, 109.3 passer rating. He played well. The Redskins, on the other hand, they got some serious work to do. Some serious work to do. They're hosting a tough Jacksonville team, and I'll get to that game in a second. Meanwhile, the Texans, like I said earlier, they will take on the Raiders next weekend. Staying in the NFC East, I thought it was panic time in Philadelphia. Obviously, they didn't show up until 2 o'clock p.m. as opposed to the game starting at 1. After being down 17-0 at halftime, the Eagles rallied on in the second half to beat Jacksonville 34-17. 14 points in the third quarter, 20 in the fourth. They look like an Eagles team that you expected to do some things this season. But give Jacksonville some credit. Chad Henne and Allen Hurns, they look like a potent one-two punch from quarterback to receiver in the game. I still felt like the Jaguars should have been it should have been Blake Bortles as the starting quarterback. Chad Hennings, it looked like in the first half he was fighting for his job. That's what it looked like. And in this case, you would have thought that he should have kept the starting job in the first half. He went 24-43, 266, threw two touchdowns, sacked three times, lost a fumble. Nick Foles got off to a bad start, but he goes 27-45 and 322, two touchdowns, one pick, sacked five times, so lost two fumbles. But that Jacksonville defense, they look like they're showing some signs. Chris Clemens, who they brought over as a free agent in Seattle, he recorded one of those sacks. Ryan Davis had two sacks. Andre Branch and Derek Marks, he also had a sack in the game. Jacksonville look like they're going to be better going forward. Philadelphia, they play exceptionally well in the first half. Good for them. Definitely. Seriously. Good for them. They did what they were supposed to do. And as far as I'm concerned, they look like they should win the NFCs. I'm just going to start off by saying that at the beginning of the season. They should take command in the NFC East. Seriously. As far as the Giants and the Cowboys are concerned, I'll get to them in part two either tomorrow or Thursday. If you're on the lookout for the next show, we'll find out. You'll find out more about that on Facebook as far as when the next show is going to be posted. Moving on, continue to move on. We had two fantastic finishes in overtime. One of those games was between the Saints and the Falcons. I'm just going to move a little quick with these games. The Falcons won 37-34. This game was pretty much up and down throughout the game. Typical Saints-Falcons game, right? Yeah, of course. But if you're Marcus Colston, you should be feeling pretty messed up about yourself. Fumbling the ball, first possession of overtime for the Saints. The Falcons recovered the ball. Matt Bryant kicked the 52-yard field goal to win in overtime. He kicked a 51-yard field goal at the end of regulation to force in overtime. Matt Ryan and Drew Brees, they did what they did. Both quarterbacks played well. What more is there to say? It was a typical Saints-Falcons game. Hats off to the Buffalo Bills. They got a new owner today. Things are going well for them. They win, going on the road to Chicago and beating them 23-20. Jay Cutler threw two costly interceptions. One of them was to a defensive lineman. Yeah, a defensive lineman. If you saw the play, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It was just horrendous. It was horrendous. Just absolutely horrendous. I think it was Kyle Williams who recorded that interception. Yeah, it was Kyle Williams. Jay Cutler practically threw the ball right to him. But the main story of the game, as far as I'm concerned, was the Bears' inability to stop the run. Fred Jackson, the oldest starting running back in the game, he played well. 7 carries for 61 yards. He had a 38-yard run in overtime. They pretty much split. Anthony Dixon, C.J. Spiller. Dixon ran for 60 yards. Spiller ran for 53. E.J. Manuel had a touchdown run. He also ran for 19 yards. It was a split attack by the Bills' rushing attack, period. They ran for a total of 193 yards. That's a problem going forward for the Bears' defense. You're playing in a division where you got Reggie Bush, Joey Bell from Detroit, you got Eddie Lacy from Green Bay, and of course you got Adrian Peterson and Cordarrelle Patterson from Minnesota. If I'm Chicago, I'm in deep trouble as far as the run defense is concerned. That's something that should seriously, they got to address that, and they got to address that quickly. The Titans beat the Kansas City Chiefs 26-10. I'm not surprised because I felt like Kansas City is certainly going to take a step back from last year. They're not going to be that good. Losing their offensive lineman, not having Dwayne Bowen, this game hurts you. It's not quite time to panic in Kansas City, but seriously, they're in trouble a little bit. St. Louis is also in trouble, losing at home to Minnesota 34-6. This was probably one of the biggest surprises because I didn't think Minnesota could rack up 34 points. And it's not like Adrian Peterson ran wild, because he didn't. He only ran for 75 yards. Cordarrelle Patterson, though, just 3 carries for 102 yards and a touchdown. One of those runs was a 67-yard touchdown run in the third quarter. The Rams are in trouble. Sean Hill was actually injured in this game. Austin Davis had to come in, due for 192 and an interception. But the Rams are in trouble already. That was definitely a beatdown, a total domination by the Vikings' part. They're now 1-0, surprisingly 1-0 in the NFC North. Miami, how about the Dolphins? beating the Patriots 33-20. That defense was getting after Tom Brady throughout the game, getting sacks, forcing fumbles. They played phenomenal. No Sean Marino, who, by the way, in the regular season against the Patriots last year, despite the Patriots coming back and winning in overtime over Denver, he had 37 carries for 224 yards against what was supposed to be a very good Patriots defense. They broke down in that game. He comes over as a free agent to Miami, and he plays exceptionally well. 24 carries, a buck 34, and a touchdown run. He played well. Mike Wallace got off to a slow start. He had a drop pass, a crucial drop pass. He also had a fumble. He redeemed himself by finishing the game with 7 catches for 81 yards and a touchdown. Lamar Miller, who also fumbled in the game, he caught 4 passes for 19 yards and a touchdown. It was a good team effort. Ryan Tannehill looked well. But Tom Brady, though, 56 passing attempts, only completing 29 of them, sacked 4 times, and had 2 fumbles. And both of those fumbles he lost. One of those also took place on a 4th down where Cameron Wake was just all over him. Cameron Wake actually finished the game with 2 sacks. Oliver Vernon finished with 1, and Chris McCain finished with another. Cameron Wake played really good. Really good. It was a great way to start the season for the Dolphins. This is a loss that could come back to hurt the Patriots in terms of getting the number 1 seed in the AFC playoff picture, because they were up 20-10 at halftime. They did nothing in the second half. The Dolphins scored 23 points. Taylor Sturgis with 3 field goals. Mike Wallace catching that touchdown pass. No Sean Marino with a touchdown run. Patriots need to address this quickly. Now, Rob Gronkowski caught a touchdown pass in the second quarter to put the Patriots up by 10 points at that point of the game. But he's not 100%. I don't care what anybody says. He's not 100%. And I also think that offensive line looked really, really shaky. And, of course, Bill Belichick, he'll bounce back from this. He'll get the guys together. He'll find a way to work this out. They'll be all right. They'll be all right. They'll be fine. Another dramatic game that took place was between the Browns and the Steelers. And if you watched one particular highlight, it was probably the funniest play I've seen in week 1 by far. Antonio Brown on a punt return running over the Browns punter. And this is something that they teach you. They try to teach punters to try and make a lower tackle. But here's the thing. Spencer Lanning was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Now, despite that issue, Antonio Brown finished the game with 5 catches, 116 yards, and a touchdown. Pittsburgh should have blown Cleveland out of the water. For them to be up 27-3 at halftime, the Browns scoring 24 unanswered points. Isaiah Crowell with a pair of rushing touchdowns in the third quarter, by the way. And then Brad Hoyer, who got off to a slow start, throwing a touchdown pass to Travis Benjamin for 9 yards that tied the game along with the extra point. It took Pittsburgh the final drive and Sean Soucham kicking a 41-yard game-winning field goal at the end of regulation. Pittsburgh was funny. And you can rest assured, Antonio Brown is going to lose some money. By far, he's definitely going to lose some money. And the other 1 o'clock game that took place, staying in the AFC North, despite the whole Ray Rice situation, Baltimore kept us short in a comeback attempt, losing to Cincinnati 23-16. Mike Nugent was hitting nothing but field goals in the first half. He hit 5 of them. They were up 15-0. Justin Forsett, who's the backup running back, he actually ran for a 13-yard touchdown run in the second quarter. Baltimore ends up scoring 16 unanswered points in the final drive for Cincinnati anyway, the final scoring drive. Andy Dalton with the 77-yard touchdown pass to A.J. Green. It looked amazing. They converted a 2-point attempt and they hold on to win 23-16. Now that'll do it for this edition, this part 1 of the NFL week 1 recap. In our next broadcast, which will either be tomorrow or Thursday, haven't exactly decided yet, but you'll know more about it on Facebook, we'll recap the late afternoon games as well as the Sunday night games and the 2 Monday night games. This is Rocket signing off on the Rocket Sports Breakdown. We'll see you for part 2. Get ready for a power trip. Take it easy. See y'all next time.